Welcome to episode 80 of Fan Experience TV. Trekking along towards that 100, and yeah. We get there before we know it. Thank you all for coming to join us again. And for all you first-time viewers, my name is Mike Kados. I am the host. Alongside me is Rick Molina. He is the co-host of Fan Experience TV. Rick, a lot going on since we signed off Tuesday night. There's a lot to talk about.
48 hours of brawls for it all. You've had a hockey player almost kill another one. You've had a perfect game lost. Willie Mays had a birthday and so much more. But I think, Mike, we got to start with that no-hitter, and I'll let you take the lead because I know it's something you want to discuss. Mr. Means in Baltimore losing a perfect game but pitching a no-hitter. Go ahead.
Yep. The second I saw that, I was like, oh, how many John Means business headlines are going to be there?
John Means
around, business. Around the newspaper headlines. But he pitched a no-hitter and not a perfect game. And what is perfect? Obviously, retiring every single batter.
Yeah.
That comes up to bat. 27 batters, 27 outs. And in this case, it was 27 batters, 27 outs. But the one person that reached base was not via a walk, was not via an error per se. It was a strikeout and wild pitch in which the catcher could not get the ball to first in time. And then that said runner was thrown out stealing on that next at bat. So for all intents and purposes, it was 27 batters, 27 outs. He struck the guy out. My thought is you have an infield fly rule. You don't even have to catch the ball for it to be considered an out. If a ball hits a player on the base pass, it's an automatic out.
Right.
To lose a perfect game because of something like that, I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way because he literally struck the guy out.
Yeah.
You know, if he walked the guy, for sure, he does not deserve a perfect game. No way, shape, or form, because you literally gave up a base runner, but he struck him out. It counts as an out. But because of the wild pitch, it didn't register. So I think it's a big gray area that probably needs to be looked at, in my opinion, on what to do about those wild pitch strikeouts. I am all for runners advancing, but not the batter that struck out.
It's a gray area sport. It's kind of like in football where the guy fumbles at the goal line and goes outside of the end zone. So it does. It's like a touchback instead of they lose the possession instead of like fumble and at the one, it for the kid to lose the perfect game on a strike three swing and miss and then the guys can catch the ball. It's odd because in the record books it's 27 outs when he got on because he missed. But either way, the guy pitched the gem of a game. Got the no hitter. I think he was happy with that. But you're right. Baseball has these sort of quirky rules about. How they score the game. Things like that have to be looked at. That's why the game needs to, change in terms of the rules. Because young kids see that and they're like, that sucks. That shouldn't happen. But congratulations to him for pitching a no-hitter. And I was reading how he was happy about getting the no-hitter.
Yeah, of course. It's a tremendous accolade in the first Orioles pitcher in, 30 years?
Something like that. Yeah. The funny thing about it, on the stat sheet, it's going to say 0-0-0 across the board.
Yep. Let's just give a quick shout out here. Nathan, thank you for tuning in. We're excited to have Justin on in a couple of minutes and talk a lot more about Tended Bar. So stay tuned. But yeah, we could talk about the MLB rules until we're blue in the face.
Yeah, until we just drop dead. Yeah.
Should we talk about the Rangers?
Yeah. That is a major story in sports, particularly here in the tri-state area.
Yeah. So you had Tom Wilson for the Capitals, sucker punching people a couple nights ago. And throwing somebody down on the ice.
And driving their face in there.
Yeah, with his helmet off. And pretty much, I mean, I know it's a brutal sport and everything, but like this guy just took it to another level. And then the NHL Players Association fined him $5,000. That was it. The Rangers came out and issued a statement saying he should have been suspended. And come face off, they dropped the puck and the Rangers didn't give a fuck, and they went.
No, they did it, man. They came out swinging. I've never seen something like that. Dropped the puck, and it was 5-on-5. It was just a brawl for it all. And rightfully so. I mean, if anybody who saw that saw what happened with Wilson and just driving the guys – Like, he could have killed the guy, man. Like, he drives in his face, and then for this player safety guy to only fine him $5,000. I mean, geez. I mean, what's the union for then? I mean, where's the union in all this to step in and say, hey, wait a minute. This guy almost killed one of the players. Like, how do you not fine him more money than that? I mean, it goes to show that the player safety asleep at the switch there, man, because that wasn't hockey. Hockey's a rough game.
Careful what you say. We might get fined $250,000.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where you're going to get $250,000 from, but the guy almost killed him. He could have hurt him really bad. And for the guy to be like, well, you know, it's only $5,000, and he just didn't see how it could be that bad. And then the Rangers didn't fight for calling him out. I mean, you know, rightfully so. You know, they should call that out. And Gary Bettman should say something. He should fire. That guy shouldn't have a job. I mean, that's not safety, man. I mean, that's just completely out of line. So I don't know why. What's this guy's name, by the way? George Parrish, yeah. Department of Player Safety. Where clearly he doesn't care for player safety after he saw that. Jesus Christ.
But it's barely a slap on the wrist. $5,000 fine. I mean.
And you send the message to the guy that you can keep doing that. No problem. It's just going to be $5,000. But it was awful. Terrible. And then what happened? The Rangers ended up firing the GM and the president of hockey operations.
Yeah, after all that, I guess really to just save face after all. But you know, I think it was unbelievable. If it was any of us, it would be a crime.
100%.
Amen, Joe. Amen.
We carried us out there in cuffs.
They tried going about it the right way. I mean, really, they just issued a statement, and then obviously it escalated.
When you're upset, man, and you have a
problem. Of course. You know, and it's
legitimate gripe. I mean, the guy, that was almost as if, like, he's like, oh, this is not a big deal, just the fact that he drove his face into the ice. $5,000. You know? So, and the guy's a repeat offender.
Yeah, let me just, Justin's just running a little late. Let me just throw the link back over.
While we're waiting for Justin, we should also touch on the Buffalo Bills general manager, who said, and I quote, if it comes down to it this fall, Buffalo Bills general manager Brian Bean said he would cut a player. Yeah, I would cut him because it would be an advantage. From a logistical standpoint, having a fully vaccinated team would be an advantage. I agree.
Yeah, so he would consider it. And, you know, it's I think that's a tricky situation. We're talking about the Bills, right? Sorry.
We're talking about the Bills, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I hope they don't go a route like that. You know, obviously we want as many, you know, safety precautions in place, but I don't know if the individual teams should really overstep everything that the league is trying to do. Like, the league is trying to do everything as close to the book as possible and with safety precautions in place. So to overstep and make your own rules and say, hey, if you're not vaccinated, you're going to get cut. It's just a consideration. If things get out of hand, he would consider it. That's pretty much what he was saying.
You know,
so
that's
a developing story.
I'm with him because look at the stuff that the players got to go through. There's going to be two tiers of kind of players. If a player's not vaccinated, they got to get a test every week. They got to go through safety protocols. Like, if you have the team tested, I mean, vaccinated, you can pretty much go around doing what you normally do without having to worry about, you know, putting a guy in a COVID protocol list and dealing with all the nonsense. So as far as I look, and eventually it's going to get there. Like, right now, a lot of people are getting vaccinated, but it's going to get to the point where you're going to have to get vaccinated, right? You know, and I think the NFL is encouraging the players to do that. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of players are just going to have to get your shot, get it done, and that's it, and just be over with it. And if you don't want to take it, then you don't want to take any painkillers or shots that they give you to stay in the game. I mean, you know, well, the crap they have in those things. So I just think that a lot of teams and a lot of GMs are going to be like, look, get vaccinated so we can have it as normal as possible around here. No COVID protocols, no, you know, distance meetings with everybody and all that. Just get your vaccines and then be done with it.
Yep. All right. Justin is signing on. So right now joining us, he is the chief operating officer at Tended Bar. Please help us welcome Justin Honeysuckle. Justin, hey, how are we?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Justin, doing well, man.
Sorry doing for great. The difficulties there. I was missing a link, I think, for a little bit.
Right. Yeah, sorry. I sent an email earlier. I said sorry for the mix-up.
No problem.
We're here now, and you know, we're good to go. So thank you thank you once again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. Before we get into, you know, all the fun stuff that you guys got going on over there at Tended Bar, you know, let's start at the beginning. You know, this is the Fan Experience TV, so we start off first and foremost as being sports fan. So tell us, you know, where were you born and raised, and what teams did you grow up rooting for, and what was like that really that key moment that got you hooked into sports?
Well, key moment. Well, growing up, I was kind of all over the place, but I call it kind of Sarasota my hometown. But honestly, I didn't take on the Tampa Bay Bucks. There wasn't much to take on at the time. You know, being a child of the early 90s, the Cowboys were probably my home team at the time. And I originally was born in Arkansas. So Jerry Jones connection and all that kind of went through my blood at the time. Since then, I've taken on the Jaguars since I've been in Jacksonville, going on 12 years now. So I guess the thank yous to you guys, I think I mentioned earlier, for the Trevor Lawrence pick last week. So, you know, thank you, Mr. New York Jets.
But anytime. We do what we can.
Outside of that, I'm Seminole-blooded in Florida State as far as it can be. I've been in Florida for a long time now and 2 degrees from FSU. And, you know, as most of my family will tell you, the championship runs in this side of the blood and not the Purdue side that the brains all run in. So that's the other half attended bar. So
very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're welcome for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you know, I know me and Rick played a huge part in that. Let's just say, but let's, you know, how are you feeling about Trevor Lawrence and him being, you know, reunited with his running back over there? And, you know, what's your outlook for this season? And what do you think Trevor Lawrence in the long run is going to outperform Zach Wilson?
Well, I'm really glad he's off of Clemson. You know, that's awesome. And now they're both off of Clemson. So that's a start. And the fact that we get to have him is even better. You know, I think he's about as purebred as they come, you know, to be honest. I mean, if he messes up, nobody's going to blame the Jaguars. Everybody would have taken that pick. So, and really, I don't think he will. I mean, he seems to have his head on straight. Priorities seem to be in the right way. And, you know, he's won. I mean, hell, he's lost, what, 2 games, 3 years? I mean, that's pretty unbelievable for any quarterback. So excited to see where it goes. You know, Urban Meyer, I can't say was my best friend going through college years. But, I mean, you know, he's already paying these players, so it really doesn't matter anymore. So, you know.
But there's no gray area anymore.
So, I mean, go Jags. Let's see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I saw actually real quick. I saw somebody – place like a $30,000 bet just to win like $60 on Trevor Lawrence being drafted. I don't know how true that one was, but I saw it floating around there today. I was like, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that's a lock of all locks if that's the case.
Yes, it would have. The city would have burned down, I think. Done
Justin, thank you for being on again. You know, when I think about Florida State, I think about Bobby Bowden. I think about Marvin Jones, Charlie Ward, those teams, Deion Sanders back in the days. When would you first start watching, you know, Florida State football out there?
I mean, actually, as a young child, I hated Florida State. My family up in Indiana and everybody, Notre Dame football was there, and I lived there for about 7 years. And loved Notre Dame, Lou Holtz, the whole get up. But then I went to Florida and, you know, lived in Sarasota, visited some friends at Florida State, and that was about as all it took. You know, that first visit, you know, I can't say more. It was a Florida State game that night. I mean, it was a crazy night, and I was like sold from that point on. And then I went there, and I mean, I can't say enough about it. I was there for the dark years, I like to call it. I mean, we had the, you know, the Chris Ricks, the Xavier Lees, the, you know, Drew Weatherford's. It was not the Charlie Wards and the Chris Winkies of the world.
Yeah.
But, and the Jeff Bowdens. Outside of that, you know, I did get to go to the national championship game when we went in 2013 in Pasadena. So being there for that and actually getting to experience that in person, I can't say there was anything better than that. So.
And what's that atmosphere like down there in Tallahassee for Florida State? Like, is it just like Seminoles year round over there? Or?
I mean, I'm in Jacksonville, so it's much more of a Gator town. You know, we're only an hour and a half from Gainesville here. But Tallahassee is, you know, it brings a different breed. You know, the passion that's there, it's true passion. You know, when you got anywhere really in Florida, you're going to Tallahassee. I mean, you're driving from South Florida. You've got 5, 6, 7 hours, things like that. I mean, people are driving for a reason. And when they're there, they're having a good time, and it's definitely there. And there's nothing better than hearing that spear go in the ground and that chop going. I mean, it's one of the most electrifying atmospheres in the world. So, and saying that, actually, from last weekend, or 2 weeks ago, we had UFC 261 in Jacksonville. And that sold-out crowd with 15,000 people in that arena was amazing. I mean, it was the first time we were back at it. It was the first time I felt it, you know, for, you know, 16 months now, really being there. And I've been in there so many times now with the bar. It was crazy. And, I mean, even my wife, who hates violence with a passion, won't watch boxing match, she was loving it and thinking it was the greatest thing ever. Maybe because she, you know, thought it was good for us, but hopefully it was because she felt the energy.
Yeah.
But well, what'd you think about the Rangers Capitals yesterday?
Yeah, that probably wasn't on our replay list.
Yeah. So Jay says that you don't understand dark years.
Jay went to Purdue, so he's still in.
So I see you got the drink over there. You know, dark years leads to more drinking than the lighter years. I mean, or a different kind of drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, a different kind of drinking. Yeah. You know, there's the happy drinking, and then there's the I want to forget about what just happened drinking. But either way, you know, to get a drink, you have to have some alcohol. If you're out, you need to go to the bartender. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys got going on at Tended Bar. So I guess first things first, you know, well, let's, you know, what is Tended Bar and where was that aha moment on where, you know, how to start it?
Well, Tended Bar is an automated bartending machine. Focus really is in high volume venues, you know, places where, you know, it takes a long time to get a cocktail, but also passive places like your hotel lobby where the bar might not open till 4 or 5 o'clock. And you know what? You got there at noon and might want to drink, you know, but there's no places to get it. Or like a service bar, you know, back of the house, called a Chili's, you know, you've got, you know, one bartender at the bar, a service bartender, but you got 20 waitresses out there, waiters, uh-huh, waitresses serving, you know, if they could just get a, you know, get a Jack and Coke at the back bar, yeah, and bring it to you with their water, with your ice water, you're probably going to order a second one a lot quicker. Uh-huh. Those are the kind of places that we look to focus on. And really, as far as the aha moment, that's, you know, that's really, that's Jay. That was my brother. He started it in college at Purdue because of the dark years that continued, I guess. And, you know, I can't say that I taught him how to make the bar, but I did tell him how to drink. And, okay, and that's probably, you know, where we mended the fences there and really made the connection happen over the years. Cause I was like, he can't go out drinking like that. I got to make him look better than that. And my background is design. That's what I did at Florida State. So we like to say he makes it work and I try to make it look good. And if we can make those things happen, you know, the guest experience is really what benefits at the end of the day. And that's really what attracted me to your TV show at first, was the fan experience, because that's what we focus on. And, you know, we've got basically our numbers from UFC were amazing. We had 18 minutes of serving 10 drinks a minute on the bars.
Wow.
So if you think of your normal cocktail line, I mean, it's, you're the fourth person in line. It takes you 9 to 12 minutes to get a drink. So we had, yeah, you know, we were just crushing the line speed, and that just makes everybody happier. I mean, you're not there to wait in line. You're there to go do other things, mingle, especially at that, yeah, night, you've been locked in your house for the last year. You know, what do you want to do? You want to get out and have fun. You don't want to be just sitting there like pressuring, mm-hmm, constantly. And that was the most people in that arena had ever had at one event, with 15,259. And our lines never stagnated. They were always moving. I mean, people just got drinks super fast. And really, I mean, that was the best part about it for us, was just watching it, you know, after 7 years of going into it, watching it just work in really all its glory at the biggest event in the world that night. And that was a pretty cool feeling. That'll mean a lot better than Chris Weidman's feeling. But, you know.
Ouch.
Yeah, totally ouch.
We have, well, Nathan says all the years drinking is necessary. So, yes, that is true. It's never going to go away.
No,
and then we're posting some links up here. Feel free to, you know, pause later on and copy and paste them. But some videos, I assume, of Tended Bar in,
if you didn't know,
in
this,
motion.
If you didn't realize,
I'll put them on the show notes.
Our CMO.
Well.
Okay.
Nathan is our CMO.
I kind of
full disclosure.
Yeah.
He's proud. And I know he's pissed off because I didn't even tell him I was doing this until like I posted on LinkedIn. And he's like, what the hell? But
you could shoot over the link if he wants to join on. But, you know, I don't, more the merrier for us. But
I mean, he's another New Yorker. I don't need more New Yorkers.
All right. Okay. All right. You didn't want to be overwhelmed. I get it. All right. Okay. I mean, you still ended up with Trevor Lawrence. So what is there to,
True. Yeah. I mean, you've got Sam Darnold too, but it's okay.
Well, we got Wilson now. Sam yeah, exactly. Darnold.
No, I know. He's Sam Darnold too.
Sam Darnold too. Wow. Oh, wow. Nathan, all come right. on.
Yeah.
I think Justin's, his reception is getting a little choppy over here, kind of like the Seminoles. But anyway. So what I'm drumming up in my head is, kind of like when you go to Burger King and you want to get, you know, you could pick from Cherry Coke or, you know, Cherry Sprite or regular Coke or whatever, like all these different options. How many different options can Tended Bar accommodate at one time? And I see on the website, it says something about, you know, it's reading what, you know, what people are ordering, and it's so you could restock based on, you know, what your customers really want, which is obviously a great thing. And you want to make it, you want to cater it to all the people that visit that establishment. So talk to us a little bit about that.
I mean, a standard bar is going to have, I just called it, you know, quote unquote, our standard, it would be 8 to 10 liquors. And the big difference is we stock a lot of liquor. It's 20 liters of every liquor. So it's not something you're going to run out during one event, because the last thing we really wanted to make this thing, so in any of your high volume environments, your NFL halftimes, you know, your NBA, all those things, you're going to be able to get through that without having to mess with it. You know, if you have to restock something, it's because you sold 20 bottles of Tito's. Well, I hope you sold 20 bottles of Tito's and you do too. You'll be happy to restock it if one bar does that. And that was really our goal, is we had seen some people out there that had done some similar things that were at a much, much lighter scale. And we knew to separate ourselves and really not even go after the same market, we had to do something different. And really the cocktail world was where it was at. And we brought an industrial design to a simplistic process that we've been doing for a long time and pouring a drink. But really, you pour a drink right now, every bartender pours it the same way they've been pouring it for, you know, hundreds of years. I mean, if somebody at a bar pulled out a 2-liter Coke and filled up your glass, you'd think that was crazy looking. I mean, you'd be like, what the hell is this? You know, but that's what we're doing, liquor bottles. And that liquor bottle, one bottle pays for that entire case for an establishment. You know, we're selling drinks for $22 a piece. I mean, you know, in New York, they're even more than that. So, I mean, you know, it's just, it was always asinine to us how you were just giving away that, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody, I'm not saying any bartender's ever given me a free drink, or I've given one myself. People are stealing $26 a time from you. I mean, you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we perfect that? But then how do we perfect that also to the consumer, to where you're not feeling like, you know, we got some skepticism originally, like, oh, is this machine going to give me a good pour? You know, obviously I can't tip it and get a little more and things like that. Well, a couple of things. You don't have to tip it, first of all, so it's going to save you money. I mean, the machine's going to give you the exact amount you're supposed to get, which is what the venue or whoever's, you know, expecting you to get. And on top of that, you know, if you want to tip, we even have that in there, and all our tips go to a charity. So we pick a charity locally that you can tip or you want. So, I mean, no pressure. And it's not like somebody standing over your back and saying, hey, you know, make sure you tip now or anything like that. It's totally up to you. But you're getting served quick, too. I mean, you're not there to see us. You're there to see, you know, the game. You know, you want to get back. You know, you want to, you know, go to the bathroom, get a drink, get back in your seat before you miss anything. And that's really what we provide, you know. I mean, concerts are even better because, you know, you hear a song you maybe don't love. You want to run out and get a drink real quick and not miss the next song. Well, there's definitely that's happening every time you go by us. And that's the biggest difference. And then the analytics on the backside, you know, we know, you know, how many, you know, Tito's and tonics or Jack and Cokes and all those things are being poured tonight. So whether or not, you know, you've got a, hey, I know the Packers are coming through, so we're going to serve a lot more of, you know, this tonight. I know, you know, these people are coming through, so we're going to stock more of this and then push things out and, you know, real time, you know, advertising and things like that, to where we can say, hey, you know, you chose Tito's, but maybe Stoli is, you know, something you need to try for a dollar off tonight. All of those kinds of things are things we can work in that menu. But there really is something your normal bartending experience isn't going to offer for your venue, but it's going to do it so fast that, you know, you're not only going to have a better experience that way, but you're going to have a better experience, you know, as a fan as well. Because, you know, you actually, you've got things tailored to you and to your liking.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. It's incredible. So was it all many of the machines that you had out there fully stocked with some tequila yesterday for Cinco de Mayo? I'm sure, you know, they obviously catered for each day, but maybe a little bit more than they did normally.
Cinco de Mayo, we have an ECHL hockey team, the Jacksonville Icemen, you know, and I can't say that it was a crazy Cinco de Mayo crowd in there for a Wednesday night, but it did all right last night. We did pour some margaritas. The Patron margarita is always a good seller for sure. And, you know, but I do have to compete against $2 beers on Wednesdays. So $2 beers on Wednesdays are a tough one for the bar to compete with.
Yeah, I would say so.
Justin, I'm just curious how it works, right? So at an event at USC where you got 10 drinks a minute, like how do you guys restock it? Like, is there somebody there to keep an eye on it, restock it?
Honestly, the only thing we had to restock was ice. I mean, just the ice and the ice machines is all we had to restock in that situation. Wow. You know, there's, you know, the machine did great. I mean, it's made for that. I mean, that's really what it's designed to do. And we do have, you know, attendants there that go through. I mean, the process is you go through, you swipe an ID to verify your age. They give you a wristband that is actually an RFID wristband. That actually is linked up to your credit card. So it's an open bar tab. So imagine, you know, you go to the bar, they swipe your card and give it back to you. So you have an open tab for the rest of the night. So the rest of the night, you just walk to the machine, scan your wristband, select your cocktail, press pour, and go. So it's that simple. And then it'll automatically close out at the end of the night. So, I mean, that's, we're actually working on some ways to actually even make that a little more frictionless and link it up with some apps that are out there that do identity and things like that and verification. Yeah. That basically you'll have a QR code linked with your ID right there on your phone and be able to do it that way. And that'll, you know, be expansion and not just, you know, venues, but also airports and things of that nature.
Yeah. And I was looking at the website. Are you thinking of taking this? Like, I know you do airports, casinos and bars and restaurants, but are you thinking of going state? You know, I know you did this event, but like stadiums, like big time stadiums.
Oh, stadiums are definitely where that is our main goal right now, is getting into the high volume environment. I mean, the smaller ones are great, and putting one bar in a Chili's is not going to be something overlooked. Putting 10 bars in MetLife Stadium is much more appealing to us. I mean, we're not a huge team. You know, we're not out there with, you know, 50,000 people ready to, you know, just take on the world, you know, manage all the chain restaurants that are out there. But you know what? There's, you know, venues, and there's 5, 6, 7 venues in every city that are of major, you know, clout. And you know what? Putting 5 or 10 bars in each one of those can make a nice little pot of for us as a company. And that's really our target, you know, as well as, you know, the festival circuit, things like that with Live Nation, people that are out there, tours. You know, having bars that are designed to be mobile and, you know, fit on a semi truck and put 8 at a time and go drop ship them at, you know, Bonnaroo, things like that. And that way you already have that wristband technology and all that stuff going on out there in those cashless environments. So it's, you know, it's really a perfect fit.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that coming. And I mean, what you're talking about with this wristband thing, like it makes it super convenient, but it also helps you get into a lot more trouble at the same time. But when you're the consumer, but hey, you just gotta.
Funny. You say that, but we also limit it.
True that. Okay.
Well, I mean, we have limits. You know, that's one of the things. Almost like a misconception is that it's, you know, a free for all. You know, right now I can limit it to 2 drinks per 15 minutes per wristband, and you sit there and try to get a drink in 11 minutes, and it's gonna tell you to wait 4 more minutes. You know, we can do a maximum for a night and saying, hey, in this amount of, you know, for tonight, you need a 10 drink max or 5 drink max, whatever the venue wants. And then you have to get a sobriety check by an actual person who reactivates your wristband. So there's safety measures put in there to, you know, to really work on your side. And like right now we send you a text receipt or an email receipt. We could link that up technically with like an Uber and say, hey, you've had 5 drinks tonight. Here's 10% off your Uber ride. You know, things that are going to make things really appealing to that, you know, that safety side and, you know, don't drink and drive and all those things that come with it. So you have to have a little more control than I think the normal bartending experience it offers in that environment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you definitely, well, this is well thought out. That's crazy how much, you know, was built into this. You know, with the trying to, you know, curtail people from getting completely shit-faced. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Now, Joe brings up a good point. You're going to need a lot of shots with all that's going on in Green Bay. Definitely a lot of drama going on over there. I know you were talking about a lot of mixed drinks, but can you just do regular shots too?
Oh, yeah, we can do shots. I mean, the beauty of our stuff is it's not a pre-mixed drink. I mean, when we have Jack Daniels, you've got, you know, 18 mixers.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Plus, you know, plus combinations of that. I mean, it's not just a pre-mixed Jack and Coke coming out of there. So you could do, you know, a single or a double, a tall or a short, you know, vodka tonic with a splash of cranberry, things like that. You can really make those different options. You know, we kind of aim for the 95%. You know, I'm never going to make a smoked old fashioned, you know, or anything like that, nor are we trying to, you know, but what do you drink in that situation most of the time? And if we can cater to 95% of the people out there that are going to order a drink or even probably more, you know, I think we're in a good position, you know, and in that environment, I mean, a lot of even our competitors at the, you know, the bars that are mobile, that, you know, just a regular man bar, they have limits to how many cocktails they can have in their situation as well.
Justin, I wanted to ask you, you know, you do have those preset limits, but let's say, like, you know, sometimes I go out, you know, I hung out with Mike a couple of months ago, went to watch a game, and I'll be like, I got the first round. The first round could be a couple of beers with some friends. Like, how do you sort of take that into when you want to do, like, limits or things of that nature?
And that's why, the bars are manned. They're not just totally free, you know, just there by themselves. They're going to have an event there. So somebody's going to be there that can say, obviously, hey, it's, you know, I'm buying this for these four people, or, you know what, I'm taking people out for business and everything's on my card, things like that. We know those unique situations are there. So we've got to be able to manage that. And that's why there's people there. And also that person, you know, helps things like, hey, you know what, this person is inebriated. Like, we don't need to let them back at the bar. But even with that minor amount of staff compared to, you know, the throughput, comparatively speaking, is so tremendous. It really offsets it quite easily.
Got it. And then, so I speak for myself. Listen, I go to a bar. I love to see a beautiful woman there serving me a drink. Happy with that. What do you say to people who say, man, this is going to sort of phase out the beautiful bartender that's just going to do away with them? Like, what do you say to those people?
I'd say Google Tended Bar on Instagram and you'll see if there's beautiful people by the bar.
And didn't I tagged like a Tended Barbies on Instagram. I didn't actually
know that. Yes.
What is that? Yes. Is that what we're talking about here?
I'm just saying, you know, you can look at our Instagram and see what's out there. And you and I.
Yeah, we got a lot of fans. Tap and Go RFID. Yes. Joe's a big fan, you know, and yeah, we need to talk. Yeah, it's a great app.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Tons and tons of thought into it. And there's is there a time frame that it needs to be restocked? So what's, you know,
honestly, it's going to alert you. And this is probably something one of our partners, Jimmy Puckett, who just chimed in and tons of thought. It was lots of his thought on how the restocking, things like that would go. It's going to alert you when you're down to like 2 liters of Grey Goose. You know, you've got a liter of Bacardi. You need to put some more in there. But honestly, like I said earlier, I mean, the amount, like a 4-screen unit with 20 liters of Bacardi, 20 liters of Grey Goose, you're not exactly running through that in one night. I mean, that's a lot of bottles. If you do, by all means, you're going to know, hey, you know what? I've got a Jimmy Buffett show and we're going to sell a lot of daiquiris and we're going to sell a lot of margaritas and things like that. Let's have a spare, you know, Captain Morgan Bacardi and Patron, you know, there so we can restock, you know, really easily. They are on Quick Connects. I mean, I can do it in probably, you know, less than a minute, you know, if I'm just changing one out. So in that instance, you would know about it. You know, let's say it was a music festival where you've got 15 hours of music playing and people there all day long. You're going to have spares for Quick Connect options. You're not just going to be like, you know, basically, let me just take a bunch of bottles and try to do something with it or anything like that. So.
I can confirm that Tended Bar has
Tended Barbies
ladies helping and assisting. I can confirm, so we're good.
All right.
We're concerned. It's okay. We're doing right.
Rest easy.
Rest easy. Yes.
That is part of the tons and tons of thought.
Yes. So all of you who were concerned, please rest easy. I can confirm. We are good to go.
So you're saying, you know, obviously there's going to be somebody on site to, you know, make sure everything is going smoothly. Say you get into these football stadiums and say you're in, you know, all of them. Let's just say that, you know, because you're obviously in this for the long haul. You know, you want to change the fan experience, like you just said. And like, what is the, I guess, criteria of, you know, who's going to be the ones, you know, just people that have been experienced in bartending, or is it, you know, something on top of that to learn the technology that's going on behind it as well? Who are you going to have manning these machines at these arenas if when you can't be at all of them?
Well, that's, I mean, the beauty of it is they're going to be remotely manned no matter what. So we're always going to have, a you know, people on the back end that they're going to know really what's going on before anybody else did. Let's say, you know, for example, Grey Goose pump did go down during halftime. It's going to be turned off. Nobody's even going to know Grey Goose is an option anymore before that's there. You know, the only person who's going to know is the guy who ordered a Grey Goose last time and tried to get it the next time, and it's not an option. He's still going to have another vodka there to order. So it's not just going to be like without, you know, without anything there. But so that is one way we've designed that in there. Now, as far as the actual manning of the event, there's going to be, you know, a mixture of, we'll have a tended bar head person in every region, you know, that would be at every event period. That would be their job. You know, it's not a shitty job. You get to go to every sporting event in your thing. So like in Jacksonville, for example, you'd go to every event at our arena. Now you'd go to the Jaguars games. You'd go to the amphitheater that's connected to the Jaguars stadium at Daly's Place, to all those things. So your job is to go to 240 events a year. I mean, you know, and horrible. You get to go, you know, it's a really shitty position.
Terrible. I mean, who would want a job like that? It's awful.
No. So, I mean, you know, that's our path on that side. And then really having, you know, not unlike a lot of concessionaires out there. I mean, that's really where we focused a lot of time and effort into, is really getting to know the concessionaire market and what they want and what's important to them, and, you know, educating them on what we do and how we can help them. And that's really how we've transitioned over the last couple of years too, is really learning more about their business as we've been involved in it. So there's different pain points that they have, and really coming out of this as well. I mean, everybody's having a labor problem right now. I mean, period. I mean, across the board. I mean, I've been to, you know, chain restaurants that can't open on a Tuesday because they just don't have staff. Yeah. You know, and these aren't little places. I mean, airports are terribly hurt right now. They're just not opening. So things like that. And that's where we kind of come in, and we can help supplement that. You know, we're not there to go replace every bartender in your stadium, you know, but you know what, if you can put 10 tender bars in there and cut that load off, those bartenders are not going to have 100 people waiting, but they're going to have the same amount of throughput. And the fans are going to be happier. And you did change something. You didn't just go back and get, you know, shields everywhere and worry about, you know, hand sanitizing your hands all the time. You actually got a better experience than you had before. And I think that's really what we're trying to focus on, is enhancing that fan experience in all of those places. And then, you know, we'll grow naturally through that. And I mean, I think that's the biggest thing we get now is, you know, why isn't this in Miami? Why isn't this in, you know, Dallas? Why isn't this in my state? Because we had, I had as many New York and California IDs for UFC as we did Florida the other night, you know, so people traveled from everywhere. So, you know, that was the exposure we got there, was great. And then, you know, just taking that, you know, across the country is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I love, you know, the thought that was put in the cranny of this business and this product. So before Rick asks his, show. Yeah. Where are you guys like right now? Are you trying to raise? Are you trying to get, you know, more connections to try to push a little harder into these professional arenas as they're now, you know, slowly getting the fans back in the swing of things? You know, where are you guys at this current moment?
Right now, it's been a heck of a month. We just closed our Series A round a couple weeks ago. And then we had UFC, which kind of catapulted us forward. And like I said, our numbers were great. We've been, you know, I can't really divulge all the people we're talking to right now, done. But we've got a lot of things on our plate to where multiple venues over the next, you know, six to 10 months, we should be in, and in multiple parts of the country. And there's nothing really stopping us right now other than, you know, time and things opening. And now things are really starting to open. And that's the best thing. We really kicked it into overdrive over the pandemic and networked the hell out of the world, really. And the entire team, you know, everybody on it has put their head down and seen what they could do. And it's finally like showing some profits right now, and not just profits. Our rewards are coming, and we're really excited what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we were able to connect through the pandemic too, you know, and, you know, make this opportunity happen. Rick, the floor is yours.
You've been at it for 7 years. You finally started. It looks like it started popping. Where do you see this industry going? I mean, do you really, you know, is your market space big? I mean, do you see it catapulting in the next 5 to 10 years to a lot of arenas and just sort of taking over that space?
I mean, simple answer, yes. I mean, I really do. I don't see how, you know, with rising minimum wages, things like that, with really trying to get people out of their house. I mean, hell, people just were locked up in their house for an entire football season and couldn't go to, you know, you got to get that person out of that 80-inch TV. I mean, you got to make it different, you know. It's really easy to go pour myself a drink in my kitchen. It's really easy to do it at my at-home bar I made in my garage. You know, what is going to be that difference maker? And, you know, you can have flashy things, make, you know, fun experiences at the game, but, and those are all great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's other, you know, there's lots of, you know, bars and things like that they're making in there. All that is one thing that you can experience anywhere without paying $150 for a ticket. But if I pay $150 for a ticket, I want to get a drink when I'm there and I want to get it fast. I don't want to wait in that line. I don't want to do that. And so you can take with us and actually make money on it instead of just, you know, putting money into something. Take something you could give somebody an experience and actually make money on the return. And that's, to me, it's been the biggest no-brainer. We just had to prove it. And I think that's really what we spent the last year doing on top of, you know, the 6 months right before the pandemic. And that's where we see it. I mean, I don't see how once you see the figures and actually put it in your system is really additional points of sale, how you can say that it's not going to do what you think it can, because, you know, the new generation has no problem using it whatsoever. They walk up to it and there is no learning curve. They are touching that screen faster than they can, you know. I mean, most of them don't. I mean, the biggest problem I have is having to tell people that if they want a margarita, you got to press Patron, you know, because it's a tequila.
Yeah.
You know, and educating more on that front than how to use
it. Okay. So, they got to learn. They got to learn what goes in their drinks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to solve that, we made a happy hour cocktail drink and I put a margarita up there. And,
there you go.
Jack and Coke up there. We put all the, you know, the quick picks up there, and that's, you know, and that solves a lot of that issue. And, you know, all of those things combined with, you know, really just enhance, like you said, enhancing that fan experience to make you want to be there and realize, hey, I had a great time, you know, and it was seamless. I think that's really the biggest difference we probably offer.
Well, you know, tell us what goes into Jack and Coke real quick.
No, I want to follow up with one thing.
For those that don't know,
we interviewed a guest on the show, and he has a, like, his company, like, does like Uber deliveries of food.
Adam from Stadium Drop. Yeah, Stadium I was Drop. Thinking the same thing.
Have you guys thought about partnering with a company like that to, you know, with Tended Bar, maybe, you know, partnering with a company like that to bring the drink, bring that experience to the fan or to the.
I haven't, you know, I mean, the delivery services in the state, I mean, I don't know how they're really going to work at scale. Okay. I mean, especially in drinking, because usually when you go get another drink, you got to take a pee. Yeah. And you're getting up anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things, like, how many times are you going to use it? I'm not saying, you know, it's not convenient if I'm sitting there with my 3 and 5 year old at a baseball game and I'm like, hey, I need somebody to bring me some more snacks, you know, because they're going crazy, you know. But how much is that is involved with us? I don't know. But on a side note of what you say with to-go alcohol, and that's, you know, come pretty prominent in Florida just passed it, you know, permanently, where I can deliver, you know, order a jug of margaritas or something like that when I order a Mexican from a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Like that, to me, I think is probably a big place we could go. It's like a ghost kitchen, to where you've got 40 restaurants that, you know, they don't have a bar, but, you know, you put a Tender Bar in that ghost kitchen and you have 40 restaurants that can all serve, you know, to go alcohol and add, you know, have another addition onto their bill. I mean, that right there, I mean, why not? I mean, you got 40 places in there. They can, whatever they serve, they pay for and go, and they make an extra, you know, 10% on every check. So someplace like that, I see it working out. Or the ones that are in the airport where they deliver stuff to your terminal, you know, where they're like, hey, I'll bring it down to here because you're tight in time and you don't want to wait. But that's where also in the airport, just being on the terminals where you can walk by and get a drink real quick instead of walking in and closing out a tab with the bartender and things like that makes sense.
I feel like the airport is like a cash cow. I mean,
yeah, once you're in there, man,
I gotta sit there and wait for hours and, you know, delays. And then you're like, all right, well, I can get a drink in less than 30 seconds. So,
well, I was in Philly not too long ago, and they had one of the terminals that have all the iPads at every station, and you can go order anywhere. And it was, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. I was the only one there. I had to order off the iPad, even though I was the only person on, like, you know, out of 400 iPads. And I was like, so how is this? You know, obviously I'm inquisitive over what we do. And she's like, well, it's great. Except for when, like, the other night when everybody had to get off the plane because it was a problem. And I had 180 people I ordered at the same time and I was the only one here. And she's like, they just kept coming. you know, they just kept coming. I never got to the bottom of the line, you know, because everybody got off and they were pissed. They were on the plane for an hour without going anywhere. And what'd they do? They all ordered a drink, you know? So places like that, as great as some technology is, it's not as great as it seems in certain situations. And that's kind of what, you know, we tried to come up with that total solution as best as we could.
No, that's,
I applaud you, man. That, I mean, I love it. Great stuff. I like it, especially like if you're going to stadiums or concerts or whatever. You want to get in and out, and you want to get back. I mean, this is great stuff. I, you know, keep up the good work, man. Keep it going.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you know, it's been a hell of a ride this last couple of years, but you've done a great job.
You know, I was thinking if you could put them at tailgates, like you got, you know, 40,000 people tailgating, start them drinking there, and then get them in the stadium. I mean, you're golden.
Well, that's like SoFi out in LA. They only have 10% of that parking lot for tailgating. They've got that huge, you know, covered area.
That's it?
They're planning on activating themselves and selling, you know, selling drinks, you know, instead of letting you tailgate. So you take your Uber there where you don't have a cooler of beer and all that stuff, and you've got to go to them and buy it from them.
Wow.
Smart play. Smart play.
You got to pay for that $5 billion play somehow.
Well, I mean, hopefully one day soon you can have it over there at MetLife for us miserable Jets fans that are watching Sam Darnold too. Sam Darnold.
We were talking pre-pandemic. You just got to let, you know, everybody open up to let the whole fan base go in. I know I'm still not might be full, but you got to let everybody get in.
I think we'll be close to 100 by the time kickoff.
Oh, we'll be there, all right. It'll be 100 for like the first two games.
Not because of pandemic, because of the Jets.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Justin, it was an absolute pleasure having you on. You're always welcome on the show. You know, keep us updated on all the progress. Everyone that is tuning in right now, you know, go on LinkedIn. Nathan, their CMO, was dropping some links. So go check those out. And I will throw those in our show notes after I upload the audio version as well. But Justin, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a blast.
Thank you, guys. Mike, Rick, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, well, definitely. Let's catch up soon.
I mean, Tended Bar on Instagram.
Bar.com is the website as well. So,
yeah, some good stuff.
Awesome, guys. All right, guys.
Well,
thank you very much.
We'll talk. All right. Take it easy.
Thanks, Justin.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Man, awesome. They're going to corner the market in every stadium in America.
Yeah, I don't see how.
I mean, think about that.
Think about, like, all right, they not only, you know, came up with the system and engineered the system and got everything set up, but they thought of, like, everything.
Yeah.
They've thought of everything.
How to mix the drinks.
We came out with a couple of things, and he had the, you know, he had the solution already, you know, in motion. So, you know, that's awesome. I wish him nothing
but the Tended Bar help, but apparently my concerns have been alleviated with there will be a Tended Bar attendant there to help.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I should have said it, but obviously, you know, I'll chat with him after as well. But hey, playing the field, you know, gets off and kicking full force. You know, people are sitting there going to games, you know. Get them some, like, you know, Tended Bar gift cards or something like that, and try to come up with some kind of creative things on that end between us two. We'll see.
Yeah, I need to find a Tended Bar. There are a lot of nice employees who work there. All right, moving on. Back to sports.
So not because you want to drink. Okay.
I don't really drink either. I mean, that Sunday I drank a few Trulies, but I'm not really much of a drinker.
Yeah, no, it was great having a lot of people on, you know, commenting and, you know, a lot of support over here in the comment section today. So appreciate everyone that tuned in. So we talked about Means. We talked about the Rangers.
There's a birthday out there. There's a very special birthday out there we haven't talked about.
Yeah. Say happy birthday to the Say Hey Kid, Mr. Willie Mays, 90 years old today.
God bless him.
You know, obviously, you're one of the greats, so happy birthday to Willie out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, the greatest center fielder that played the game, 90 years old, you know, still going strong. So happy birthday to him, and hopefully 90 more to live. So I thought I'd run this by you. Not sure if you saw this. Albert Pujols released today by the Angels on his last year of his contract.
Yep.
What are you thinking? A future Hall of Famer just did like, you know what? We're done.
I saw an MLB meme today, you know, saying, you know, in honor of Pujols, you know, being released today, you know, we figured we get together a video montage of all his great moments with the Angels, and it's just the loading symbol. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, Pujols,
great player.
You know,
I thought he made his name in St. Louis.
Well, of course, he made his name St. Louis. Yeah, and you know, with the Angels, he never really got off the ground with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He just, you know, it really was. He was a, you know, hit or miss, in the literal sense. You know, hit or miss. You know, the whole time that he's been with the Angels. I mean, maybe that first season he had a, you know, a couple of more good moments, but after that, like you never heard his name other than today. I mean, let's be real. I mean, granted, people don't talk about the Angels all that much, and especially not anybody not named Mike Trout or Ohtani.
Right.
I mean, that's the only people that you hear about. What's his face is there now? The ex-National. The guy that hits all the doubles. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he's over there now. I think third baseman. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Angels are kind of, you know, they're kind of in like a, you know, weird area. It's just,
yeah,
you know, they're competing with the Dodgers. Obviously, Dodgers have, you know, are front and center when it comes to Los Angeles baseball.
Right.
And because the Angels are just there. And you have Ohtani, which is a spectacle every single time he takes the mound. And he comes in there and he DHs, and you know, it's all fun to watch and to keep track of. And then Mike Trout sitting 400 ball. But for somebody like Mike Trout, who is supposedly this best player in the game, like you still don't hear his name.
That's what I was going to say. And
that's what's up with baseball. Like, how do you have, you know, how do you have, you know, this like transcending talent, and you barely hear his name?
Exactly. And I think he wants it that way. Like, I don't think he wants the pressure of like that a Jeter and an A-Rod have.
No, I get it, but in the NFL or the NBA, somebody that is like probably less than below average in the league, you know their name. Like, you have, what's his face? Juju Smith-Schuster. Honestly, he sucked last year, but you knew all about him because he was dancing on logos on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, the thing with
or his bike got stolen, or Chase Claypool all over TikTok, or this or that. You know, Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a great player, but we're talking about Aaron Rodgers all the time now because, you know, there's drama over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you're talking about everybody.
Right. But here's the thing. Again, baseball, and look, we all love baseball, but like to the generation today, it's a slow game. It's boring. It doesn't have the stars that it once had. And Trout's playing. Listen, he's playing at 10 o'clock at night. Nobody's watching. Unless you live in the West Coast, you're not watching.
And those people aren't watching either.
Yeah, exactly. You're in bed. Like,
because over there, you have the Lakers.
Right.
The Clippers. The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. You got the Rams, the Chargers. If you're going to slot the Angels anywhere, I would either put them – well, you have the Kings too. I would even put them maybe above the Chargers.
Okay.
But with Herbert there, I might put the Angels last in the Los Angeles.
Yeah, I put them last, period. Even if Sam Darnold were the quarterback of the Chargers.
Well, the Chargers were pretty abysmal with the fans a couple years back.
Right.
Now that Herbert's in there, the Chargers take
either way. I mean, they're still talked about. But this guy plays on the Anaheim Angels. They don't win. He's the best player in the baseball. He's like, he hits everything. And yet you never know about him. It's not
– except the headlines. Oh. Right.
Yeah, he needs to be on the East Coast. Like, you had Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz on the Red Sox. You had the Yankees with Jeter and A-Rod. I mean, you know, you had teams – it matters where the market is, man. And right now on the West Coast, I mean, you got Mookie Betts out there. You got Trevor Bauer out there. The Dodgers are loaded, and you're like, all right, like, who cares? Nobody's watching. So, and look at even the Padres with Machado and Tatis Jr. down there. And it's like,
The Padres are more talked about than the Angels in Los Angeles.
Right. But nationally, overall, like, we're just like, I don't know. We don't watch them. Like, nobody knows. It's like, they're just out there. They're just like, oh, okay, the Padres won, great.
Like, if the dude wasn't hitting 400, we wouldn't even hear his name.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear his name. Be like, oh, there's a guy hitting 400. Like, he would have to, like,
he could be hitting 333, and they'd be like, okay.
Listen, for Trout to, like for that to really catch on out there, I honestly God think he'd have to break DiMaggio's record. He'd have to hit, like, in 57 straight games or something like that.
And then what? We're going to talk about it for a day?
No, but, like, I mean, people would be like...
But everyone knows that Trout's a great player, but the team that he plays for is just... There's nothing more to talk about. Like, right. Okay, we know who Mike Trout is, but I'm saying, like, it's just... You're not going to talk about him for multiple days on end. You're going to talk about those players like Mookie Betts and Tatis and the Jacob deGroms, who's injured. Fucker.
We don't talk like Tatis and like Machado and all them. We don't really talk. What I'm saying is, like, for being out there on the West Coast, it hurts them on that they're out there on the West Coast because nobody sees them. Like, you don't see them in prime time. You know, people are sleeping when these guys are playing. So, you know, it's something that baseball is going to have to work out, man. They're going to have to figure out what to do. They really do to change the game and find a way to bring more star power back in the game, because right now they don't have it.
Your upstairs neighbor telling you to quiet down?
Upstairs neighbor apparently could be upset, although I've had to put up with them for 3 years, so they could deal with me for a couple more minutes.
What in the world? Jeez.
Hey, this is New York City, living in an apartment. I don't know if you saw this, by the way, and I think I texted you about this, that the Players Association sends the NFL sends a letter to the Players Association basically reminding the teams that they don't have to play payers who get hurt outside the facilities. And this all stems from, you know, Juwan James or the Denver Broncos tearing his Achilles out of the
club facilities, you know, official NFL, you know, facilities.
Yeah, it's incredible. And this is the thing, man. Here's the problem. This stuff was collectively bargained, you know?
That's the thing. It was something that they discussed. They put in, everyone knew about it. And so as much as it sucks, if it was there and it was in, you know, if it was in black and white and they took a long time to try to get this stuff, you know, agreed upon, and still it happened. So, I mean, was it any different with Antonio Brown? Didn't he have that, you know, that shit with his foot?
Yeah.
That brought it up too.
Trial foot, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and they had something to say when that happened. And, you know, this is Antonio Brown we're talking about. I mean, you know, he's, you know, pretty big name player, and he still didn't get special treatment.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're the NFL,
I mean, obviously the Broncos have every right to do whatever they want to do,
but
they
can.
But now I think that, yes, they're trying to make an example of this and say, like, listen, you know, we put this in the bylaws because we want everyone to, you know,
train here.
Yeah. And not to mention, probably more so with COVID. They're like, we don't want you going to just any gym or any athletic training facility.
Right.
We want you going to ours, where we know that we're definitely testing everyone every single day when they're going there.
Yeah,
you know,
and we're taking care of you and whatever. But for the NFL to send that letter, you know, to the players,
I want to make an example.
Yeah, it just looked in bad taste, and it just makes them look like here are these guys breaking their bones, getting hurt, whatever. Yes, the guy got hurt, but Jesus Christ, are you going to literally try to pull out every stipulation not to pay people? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just wrong.
I do think that yes, it is. It is a little strong arming and a little. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it does exist, unfortunately, and I just don't think you need to blast it out there in the media.
Yeah,
just kind of keep it quiet. Like, okay, he broke, you know, but we don't need to know that he's not getting paid.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. See, the MLB doesn't have much going on social media, but the NFL is putting out shit that should not be put out. Right. Like, okay. He injured his Achilles. Would we even question what's going on with his contract?
No.
If it wasn't for them putting it on blast?
Exactly.
And they want to stay in the headlines, and they want people to talk about it like we are. And guess what? Obviously,
we're gonna
we have a sports show.
Yeah.
A lot of other people have a sports show. So thank you, NFL, for giving us talking points. Yeah. But at the same time, not everything needs to be out there.
Yeah. Well, here's not the thing. I mean, but you're right, because the NFL is 365 days, 24 hours a day. Like, you're always talking the NFL. Like, we could talk Aaron Rodgers for another month. I mean, that's a saga that's going to play out, man.
Well, it was a big thing on Dan Patrick today, and he was interviewing Schefter, and he was saying, yeah, I put it out on draft day. I put the news out on draft day. It didn't happen on draft day, but I put it out on draft day. So it's just like they just want to keep putting things out there. And, you know, I have people that I work with. They're like, you know, like, I don't like football. Why do you always talk football? I'm like, because football is always needing to be talked about because there's new news every single day.
Yeah, and that's
what I'm like, well, I'll talk about the Rangers fight. I'll talk about the no-hitter. The Islanders clinch, by the way. That's an honorable mention. I promise. I promise to put that out there.
Talk basketball, but at the end of the day, I mean, everybody's fixated on the NFL.
I mean, the draft was last week. Yeah. You know?
How many people do you think watch the draft?
Next Wednesday, the schedule comes out. So it's like,
yeah, that's going to be another big night. Like, the ratings are going to be huge on that. Like, the NFL is genius.
They are. Tended Bar thought out a million things for their product, their user experience, everything all around it. The NFL methodically thinks of every single thing that happens inside the season, right after the season ends, couple weeks after the season. Like, there is no lull. There is no lull. There's something going on. But when it comes to baseball, all right, they have 162 games, which could be considered a lull in itself. And then you have winter meetings like 2 months, 2.5 months later. It's a week, you know, a week and a half free for all for the GMs and everyone to go meet. And then you don't hear anything again until pitchers and catchers.
Pitchers and catchers, yeah. So, again, look, the NFL is the gift that keeps on giving to the country. Everybody loves it. You know, now, rookie minicamps open up for the Raiders, the Jets, and the Colts this weekend. Everybody's going to be all over that. And then the rest of the rookie minicamps are going to start opening up in a week or so. Then you're going to have that 1 month where it's a lull or a month and a half. And then before you know it, middle of July, we're talking training camp.
Is it really going to be a lull? I think NFL stands for no fucking lulls.
No fucking lulls. No, and even after the Super Bowl, like a week after the Super Bowl, what are we doing? Talking NFL Combine. Getting ready for the NFL Combine. And they do that. The NFL's brilliant. They do that over a period of like 4 days. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we covered a lot today.
Yeah.
Remember, everybody, you know, thank you for Justin for coming on and talking to us about Tended Bar. And we wish all of you and whoever's still out there from the company watching, we wish all of you the best. And
we do. Go get vaccinated, people. Go get your shots.
To have it out there in the stadiums that are over here. Remember, next Tuesday, special crossover event. We are going to be live on the Wolf Den with Matt Wolf. Yeah. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night, and we're going to be right back here at 9 o'clock, and Matt will be joining us. So please be sure to tune into that. Matt will obviously post some links to where you can watch the Wolf Den. We will post all the links on where you can catch us when we get on Fan Experience TV at 9. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody, and let's see what happens in the NFL before we get back.
Yeah, have a good night, everybody. See you next Tuesday. Peace.
Have a good one.